Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, a Reiki practitioner and teacher and author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to go within to find your true self. I am most delighted today to welcome Reverend Michael Korda, a UFO experiencer or contactee, as well as member of the clergy, author of God Consciousness, who as a result of his experiences, education, and studies of metaphysics, comparative religion, Reiki, and other forms of energy healing for over 25 years, has chosen to lead a life of service devoted to the healing of mind, body, and spirit. Hello, Reverend Korda, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Cheryl. I must say, with that introduction, I was wondering who you were talking about.
I was talking about a very Vitruvian man, I think, a man of many, many gifts and talents.
You made me sound so good. I was like, well, wait a minute. Is this the correct show?
Well, that's who you are. Michael, as listeners of Healing From Within know, my guest and I share our experiences of this time and space, or our physical life, with ideas and stories of the metaphysical or universal forces beyond this earth existence. And we're trying to help people understand the duality of our physical and spiritual nature so they can learn to go within for the purpose of self-investigation, to master their emotions, and to reach our full human and spiritual potential, which will allow us to live in harmony and balance with all life forces. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Reverend Michael Korda, who has a master's in divinity degree from one of the most prestigious seminaries in the country, Union Theological Seminary in New York City, is also a board-certified hospital chaplain and serves a Unitarian Universalist congregation in Black Mountain, North Carolina, will share how one may begin to assimilate all the necessary ingredients to improve the quality of thinking, acting, and behaving, which ultimately set up the conditions for a successful life journey. The hope is always to take responsibility for creating our most purposeful set of experiences and improving our level of health. Michael, I always love to begin each show by asking my guests to think back to their childhood, a person, an event, which may have reflected the values, goals, and lifestyle they value now as an adult, and which may have shown them or others around them, even early on in life, their true path. So think back for a minute to the boy you were.
Great question. I would say, and, you know, who was it? Kierkegaard that says life is lived forward, but it's only understood backwards. That I came into this life with a love for the study of religion. Not religion as it's practiced now by more extreme brothers and sisters, but just religion for what it was meant to be, to give us a tool to how to evolve as spiritual beings having a human experience. And I was in love with the church probably from a very young age. I just felt comfortable. I was comfortable in synagogue, I was comfortable in mosque, I was comfortable in cathedrals, and I believe, well, I know that I've done this before, but that was the unifying factor. The other thing, though, was also that being a man of color, choosing to be a man of color this lifetime, I was the first. I was a Jackie Robinson in a lot of situations, living in New York, but even before New York, growing up in Baltimore, Maryland, moving from the inner city projects to a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, being in many situations where I was the only person of color growing up, but see, I could walk in different worlds. And that has served me well because I've been a bridge, or at least created a bridge instead of building a wall between people who are different.
You know,
and looking back, that's been a great thing for me.
That was
thanks
a great gift for you. And exactly, yes. I believe we choose the family, the lineage, and the place we're born so that we can remember our soul destiny. And through whatever challenge we have, come to know ourselves, the universe, and each other, and create the best life through these experiences.
Yes.
And my childhood wasn't really that different. I also always loved God. I always looked to the heavens, and I tried to ask why people were having such trouble behaving well. As a three-year-old, I cried because I felt the emotions and behaviors of many people around me were not reflective of this divine love or this search for knowledge and wisdom and to help each other and to be more unified. I was that way at 3 years old also. So I would say we were born to walk a path to remember who we are as spiritual beings having a physical life. And sometimes the physical life offered many challenges for people like us who are sensitive to energy and the universal force of creation. So thank you for describing that way of beginning. Now let's go on to tell our listeners about your initial contact with off-world intelligences, as you call them. I think it was on December 28, 1989, and the journey of spiritual transformation that was initiated then.
Yes, thank you for, I mean, obviously you've done your homework. Yes, and I remember, Cheryl, and I'm going to give you the truncated version. I remember growing up, and I remember not even believing in life on other planets. And when people would ask me why, get this, guess what I would tell them? Because it's not in the Bible. But anyway, December 28, 1989, prior to that I was really getting into metaphysics, attending Science of Mind churches, unity, reading existential philosophy. I mean, I was already, the stage was being set. The seeds were being planted. I come back from the pyramids in Chichen Itza and Tulum with my girlfriend at the time, who later became my first wife, and we were living at the Excelsior Hotel, 45 West 81st Street between Columbus and the park.
Mm-hmm.
Got home in Mexico, you know, coming back to freezing temperatures after leaving 85, 88 degrees, and I was invited to a party, and I wasn't going to go, but you know how the ego can get. I wanted to show off my tan because I had really gotten a nice tan light being on the beach, and I said I would go. So I went for about 90 minutes, caught the subway down to Times Square, went to the party, no adult beverages were consumed, had some deviled eggs, this kind of thing, and I left. I made an appearance and I left. So I caught the subway back home, and that, I don't know to this day whether I had to use the bathroom, or I was lying on my stomach, which is usually how I sleep, and I turned around, and there was a being in the bedroom. And the whole bedroom, now remember, this is Manhattan now.
Mm-hmm.
And my room was lit up like I was in the middle of Times Square. And this brother, I think it was a man, had a blue light, like a cobalt blue light around him. And then a light, I don't know where the light was coming from, he was glowing. He was chalk white, he wasn't gray.
Mm-hmm.
Even though his phenotype had the big bulbous head and the wraparound eyes, a very thin man with the jumpsuit looked like aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm.
And I must be honest, I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I pulled the covers over my head and hoped it would go away.
It sounds like Scrooge in A Christmas Story.
I don't think I've experienced that type of fear. Now, and so what had happened when I pulled the car, now, my girlfriend would not wake up. Either could not or would not wake up.
Probably could not, yeah.
Yes. And so I pulled the covers up over my head, and then I heard this, like wind, and I felt the temperature change. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm outside. And I pulled the covers down, and no one was there.
Mm-hmm.
No one was there. And this went on 6-8 months, close to a year, every full and new moon. And at that time, they would always come when my girlfriend had to work. She usually worked at night. But what happened was, and they would show me pictures. They didn't move their mouths. They would show, you know, it was like telepathy, or they would show me pictures. But it just really accelerated my spiritual growth. And then I read voraciously everything I could get my hands on. I was so happy looking back that I was not into science fiction, so people can say, "Oh, hey man, you just got that." No, I wasn't influenced by anything except that event, and I just started I started getting by on less sleep, the Reiki. These are the physiological changes. It seemed like my hair and nails would grow extremely quickly. The energy that I called Reiki, I don't know what it is, but it's definitely influenced by these contacts with them. But I started to become me. I went to therapy, gestalt therapy. I started peeling the onion and becoming, you know, more into healing, but working on myself as well.
Yes, you started. You started eliminating what had been imprinted upon you during childhood, and the illusion of the mind or the reality of a physical life to remember a greater depth or awareness of life and love. And I believe I read that you said that the being said to you, "I believe that the reason that we are on this planet is to serve humanity and to learn to love and to forgive ourselves as well as others." And that helped you decide to write this book. But you weren't afraid of them after a while. And you did learn a lot from them.
It took many years because, see, the being didn't say that, but it made me discover that. I always knew that.
But it became reality for you.
Yes, because in intellectual, we know a lot of things, but to live it out. But it took me a while, because I started seeing different races. I saw that brother, he looked like a gray, but he wasn't. They're different races, they're different species of gray. I've seen a reptilian, and I had a healing back in 2013, July 4th, of a blood clot by a guy who looked like, he was tall with blonde hair. A very muscular guy, Palladian, Nordic-looking gentleman. And but that set me on the path, because I was very closeted. I wouldn't tell anybody about these things. I would present it as research, but I would never talk about my own personal experiences. And so my first publisher, little mom and pop publisher out in Arizona, Blue Star Productions, she said, "Michael, you've got to add at least some of your experiences in the book."
Well, I have spoken over the course of this show to many very gifted, intelligent people who have had these experiences, and I believe everything is possible. There's nothing that's impossible, and there are realms and realms of dimensions of life and other forms of life. Just like on this planet, there are so many species of animals and plants and sea life. And
yes,
there are so many
yes.
types. Each human being is unique
yes.
and different from the next.
So yes.
I have no doubt in my mind that everything that we think with our mind comes from an inspiration from the divine or universal source
yes.
or God or whatever yes. you wish to call it.
Yeah.
And
yes.
so, 20 years ago, I would not have believed this either, to tell you the truth.
No,
but over the course
of
my
you.
Experiences, I know that everything is real. And in meditation, I have seen some of these entities and life forms.
Yeah.
And you know, some people even believe that they might be God's messengers, like angels are the messengers.
Yes.
And it's hard to know, but it really doesn't matter. All it means is that there is more than this physical life, and that consciousness survives physical death, and we are more than we appear to be. So if we learn that from all of this, then we have discovered a lot. But let's go on to...
Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you. So what are the benefits of reading your book and talking about what we're talking about here today, and what new awarenesses may readers of God consciousness receive? So tell us the benefits.
I'll tell you. Now, the benefits, the first two books, Alien Scriptures and A New World as You Can Take It, I was trying to establish what you just said, that the Bible as well as other books, maybe there's evidence to lead us that our ancestors were talking about interacting with off-world intelligence. It's calling them angels, call it what you will. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to get away from being the UFO minister. I love it. I still get called to do conferences and TV shows, you know, Ancient Aliens, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in God consciousness, I go back to my roots where I'm most comfortable, which is in metaphysics. And the benefits of that book, and I just finished a book last week that it's called Metaphysical Healing and the Power of Affirmative Prayer. And the benefits, and hopefully you'll call me back and we can talk about that one. The benefits of God consciousness is I draw on many wisdom traditions, religious and secular. Each day is a meditation practice and an affirmation. And if those meditations are done every day or whatever, however the people feel comfortable with, it will do what you and I talked about, getting us still and going back to our source, putting aside all the noise, all the Donald Trump mess, all the serious stuff, the stuff happening in Syria, not having an ostrich mentality, but tapping into our own power so that we are not swayed back and forth by the machinations of the world. So it's not about getting out of the world.
No.
It's about being in the world, obviously, but going back to our power. We come from love, and when we leave this body, we will go back to that love.
Yes.
And so each day,
there's
a quote. There's a quote from the Quran. There's a quote from the Bible. You get my drift. There's a quote from the Upanishads. You can meditate on it throughout the day.
Well, in other words, we're helping our listeners know that to keep your mind and heart open is the way to return to your personal power of your spirit and your heart. And you wrote, the fact of the matter is that a life-giving power is always at work, nurturing the universe, and we can learn to be responsive. In response to that thought, in my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote this passage. Throughout the amazing journey seeking the truth of why we are all here and our connection to what is beyond us, I learned several truths. The first is that there is indeed an afterlife. The second is that the separation between this world and the next is not a thick, impenetrable wall, but a thin veil that allows our loved ones in spirit to communicate with us and we with them. I also learned that everything in the universe, including our physical bodies, is made up of pure energy, and that working with this energy can affect a healing that repairs our bodies and allows our souls to move toward greater levels of awareness and expansion. So we're talking about knowing ourselves as a multidimensional being of many possibilities and love and compassion. Now let's get on to some of the important words and definitions that people should contemplate before starting their transformational journey. You mentioned many words: consciousness, ego, God, intellect, realization, wisdom. Just pick one word and give us a feeling for how you see that.
I would say the big word for me would be God, because it has so much baggage. And but for me, words get in the way, but words are all we have.
Yes.
Whether it's God or the Brahman or the force, or, you know, or the primal cause. I want people not to get tripped up on that word. You know, if you're talking to someone and they're using that language, one can always say, when you say God, what do you mean? Knowing that they are doing their best to describe in their mind all that is. So what that requires is us to be bilingual in a way.
And absolutely,
just
yeah.
Know that, yeah, and to just know that just because someone else's idea about God is not yours, they are using the best words they know how. And that way you keep the dialogue going. Because a lot of us will shut down if we don't hear our interpretation of what these things mean, because words get in the way anyway. You cannot know about, you can't talk about God, you can only experience it.
Yes.
And if we spend more time trying to experience it, we spend less time trying to kill each other off.
Yeah, you know, they say, for those who know, no words are necessary, and for those who don't, no words will suffice. But many people believe we are separate from the divine or God force. You and I know that's not so. Please tell us why we're not separate.
Well, I'll tell you this. Sometimes it's hard to unlearn stuff, and most of us, if we were raised in any type of organized religion, we were taught that God was somehow outside of us. This is what came to me. A Course in Miracles says that we have two emotions and two choices. We can choose love or fear.
Right.
But it also says that what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. So if God is love, there is no opposite.
No.
And so for us to stay in that space, I think, to realize that we can choose, and if we choose wrongly, we can choose again, but to remember that there is no cosmic scoreboard, God 5, the devil 8. Either God is God, either love is love, or it's not. So when fear knocks on the door and love answers, no one's there.
Well, I would say, in your view, you said the star person or beings of light from beyond this planet have a different concept of God, which is more mature, more inclusive, not separate, less personal, and in fact that everyone and everything can connect with this intelligence and this energy. You know, I'm a Reiki energy practitioner, and in connecting and opening up channels to receive and let energy and messages channel through me, I connect to what you call this Reiki or universal energy, which is the divine, the God force, the life of every living being or plant or animal here or beyond here in other universes. And it is love and it is unity and there is no separativeness. So I like your description in the book of that, more mature, more inclusive, less personal, and everyone and everything connected to this energy. Let's go on to something else right now. What can finally be achieved when this incorrect thought of separation is eliminated or removed? When we take it away.
I think that's when God consciousness actually happens, when we start to realize that what I do to you, I do to myself. And all the great sages of all religions talk about that. Usually they're mystics, but there is the interconnected web. And so we are connected. We cannot not be. And we can look around us and see what this separateness has done. It's produced scarcity. It's produced greed. It's produced murder, wars, abuse.
Absolutely.
And so when we realize that I do need to treat my neighbor as I treat myself, and that they're all neighbors, whether it's the rat running through East Harlem on a Saturday night, or whether it's a prince in Saudi Arabia, whether it's the poor brother or sister in Appalachia, or wherever, we are all connected.
And you also write, You are, we all are, children of the Most High, nothing more and certainly nothing less. When I talk to people, sometimes I say, we all have this divine spark of God within us. That's how we were born, with our soul being and connected to that force we come from. And people forget that, and then they go into the fear mode, and then they live with all those negative behaviors. But the Buddha, and you wrote this in your book, the Buddha talks about our thoughts creating our reality. And he knew this 500 years before Jesus.
500 years before Jesus.
So that's what people should think about. Thoughts are things and are powerful forms of energy. And he says that all that we are and all that we will ever be is because of our mind, our thoughts. So we hope to develop a way to create more love in our thoughts, and more love than in the world. And hopefully these beings from other universes have already experienced that, and we will be able sometime to connect with them also the way we connect with our citizens right here. So I want to thank you, Reverend Michael Carter, for a very gentle, clear stating of the way one may begin to see themselves and the world with clarity, honesty, humor, and truth, and to begin your own process of self-investigation and inner awakening. To do that, read God Consciousness. Go to Reverend Michael J.S. Carter.com for more information.
Well, and also, too, they can pick the books up probably easier on, that's my email, they can contact me. But they can go to Amazon. My books are on Amazon.
Okay, thank you very much. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have discussed the world of energy or universal creation and how we are all part of this evolving plan and not separated from what is already within us, this divine spark of God or the universe. Your own inward journey of self-discovery begins with each new day. And Reverend Carter wrote, as you go through your day, maintain an awareness of the main idea introduced in the day's reading, knowing that you are being changed and enlarged by it. Ask yourself how these ideas can encourage you to release an old attitude or belief, and then make a conscious decision to expand your thinking. Be alert for opportunities to practice and apply the new attitude or insight you have chosen. If this practice seems difficult in the beginning, remember that you are breaking entrenched patterns of behavior and that resistance to anything new is, of course, normal. Yet rest assured that your willingness and impulse to achieve wholeness and healing is more powerful than any resistance you might feel. Reverend Carter and I would have you remember, as I wrote in the conclusion of my book, The Living Spirit, from a dream that I downloaded from the sentiments of our guides in spirit, remember a place high above my home, a land of light which reflects the bright colors of the rainbow. Remember teachers of divine beauty, love, and wisdom, and hear their thoughts which sound like music to prepare you into your physical life with the finest preparation to succeed in all you do. Remember the peace, joy, laughter, and smiles, the encouragement and love in the glances from their bright, inquisitive minds. Remember as your heart beats and your feet tap and you dance to music only you might hear from your guides or angels in an eternal place of true love that you are never alone. Remember you and remember me as one together in unity and love for all time in life and yes in death. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website to discover for yourself the many conscious and creative authors and leaders in the fields of science, spirituality, religion, education, metaphysics, energy healing, psychology, and the arts and music as they find and share answers to our intimate questions about life, death, evolution, and simply how to live our best life. Shows may be heard on my website, CherylGlick.com. on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you for listening.